We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Recovery Road, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and first of all, I want to thank everyone for tuning in from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet. And like the way I say planet, because I don't want to offend all you flat earthers, so you're welcome for that today. And it's my absolute pleasure to invite or to welcome to the show today my fellow co-presenter at UK Health Radio, Mike Dilkey. Mike, how are you doing today?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Looking at a screen like this is a bit difficult. So sometimes I'm wondering whether I should have glasses on or sort of perched on the end of my nose. So I'm going to be playing with my glasses a bit. So apologies for that.
No, that's wonderful. So for those of you who are just tuning in on the podcast version, make sure you come over to check out the video version at masteryourlife.ca so you can see both of us mucking about with our glasses during this entire interview. So Mike is the host of Relax Back UK, which is a podcast on UK Health Radio. UK Health Radio has 1.2 plus million listeners now per month. So again, thank you to all of you who are tuning in. But Mike's show specifically focuses on health professionals talking about people who are having problems in their health and how they can provide solutions to him. So Mike, how did you get started actually doing that podcast? Because it was a spinoff. You call it kind of this, something that got started that you just kind of went wild about. It was like this little thing.
So,
that started.
Yeah, the podcast, which I really enjoy doing, is I sometimes refer to it as a hobby that's gone out of control.
The hobby, yes.
Yeah, a hobby that's gone out of control. And it's on UK Health Radio, mm-hmm. and the topics generally are health related, but I am not a health person at all. You know, I don't have any health or medical qualifications. I'm a civil engineer.
Yeah.
So I spent the first 20 years of my career, you know, building roads and doing civil engineering type things, which I absolutely loved. But sort of, it's funny where you end up and how things change in life. But at the last downturn, which was actually a pretty serious downturn, which sort of started in 2008, mm-hmm. it was not a great time to be a civil engineer. And I won't bore you with all the details, but I ended up without a job. And so I thought, right, I need to do something else. Construction was pretty much flat. And for quite a while, since my early 20s, I had been doing yoga. So, you know, I'm not a great yogi by any means. I'm not a yogi master or anything, but off and on, I've been doing a fair bit of yoga. And it's probably fair to say I'm probably more flexible than you might imagine your average, slightly paunchy middle-aged bloke to be. So I had an interest in yoga. And I thought, I wonder if kind of I can direct this to some kind of business. And I had a yoga teacher actually in the States when I used to live in Boston. And she lent me this thing, this device, which you can use to hang upside down. So people that do yoga often like to hang upside down. I like Iyengar yoga. And so hanging upside down, it sounds weird, but if you sort of do it a bit, you get to quite like it. And it feels really nice. So I had had this thing for hanging upside down for quite a long time, and I'd been using it. And I thought maybe I'd try and refine it and possibly sell it. And the yoga teacher that gave me the idea, I contacted them, and they were fine with it. They didn't mind. So I refined this thing, and you hang it on the back of a door, shut the door, and then hang off it. And the weight is taken on the door frame rather than the hinges. And So I refined it a bit, and actually I took it to a lawyer, a patent lawyer, to say, look, this is the idea, this is how it works, because I hadn't seen anything like it. You know, I'd looked on a few yoga websites and what have you. And I thought, okay, you know, if I can get a patent on this, maybe I'll start a business selling this, because I know it works because I've been using it for years and I kind of like it. He contacted me in about 20 minutes. He said, Mike, you can't patent it. I'm afraid it's already in the public domain. Have you looked on S&M websites? So I said, well, I haven't looked on S&M websites.
What a question.
Well, he found it quite quickly. I don't quite know whether that's a comment on him or whatever, but... Anyway, so I thought, well, it's already in the public domain. People are using it, maybe not for yoga, but, you know, they're using it.
Clearly.
I thought maybe I could just put a little stamp on the bottom, machine washable, and sell it anyway. I don't know. I decided not to do that. And I sort of then went in a different direction of just starting a website that would be good for people with bad backs. And I went through a few iterations and I looked at lots of different products that might help with that. And I came across one in particular, which was a chair called the BackApp chair. And partly because of my experience in yoga, I thought, you know what, that could work. That looks pretty good to me. So I contacted them with the idea of just having it as a product on my website. And I met up with someone from BackApp. And I kind of talked myself into trouble. And after that, I'm the UK distributor for this chair.
Very good.
So,
yes.
So I've been doing that for a number of years and quite enjoying that. And I'm getting to the answer to your question. Don't worry.
Beautiful. Miss that story. You could not miss the story of the patent lawyer. That was important.
He was an odd chap, I have to say.
The sweet.
So I was at one of these events, it wasn't really a conference. It was a sales show with lots of different people had their booths kind of showing what they had to sell. And I was at this thing with my chairs, and I happened to bump into someone from UK Health Radio. Mm. It wasn't actually Johan. So Johan, for listeners that haven't had the story of UK Health Radio, started UK Health Radio. And at the start, he was working with someone else whose full name I've forgotten. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I started talking to him. And then after a while, I think I was invited on to do like a one-off show, or I asked. I think I got sharp elbows and kind of wormed my way in to do a one-off show. And my sole idea there was to kind of do a bit of marketing for my business, for my chairs, get the word out about the chairs. So, you know, that was my interest. And I think I did a roundtable discussion that included a doctor and an osteopath and me on how to make if your partner's pregnant or if you're pregnant, how to be as comfortable as possible. So at the time, my kids are 17 and 12, so this was, I don't know, 5 years ago or something. So I could remember my life was a lot easier when my wife was comfortable when she was pregnant. So it seemed like a good topic. So that kind of went all right. We had a nice chat, and I think Johan used it. And a little time after that, I can't really remember the timing, he said, would you like to try doing a weekly show? So I thought, yeah, why not? And then... So that's it. That's the hobby that went out of control.
I love it. So for those of you who are pregnant right now, make sure that you go onto the UK Health Radio website and actually check out, because you can find old episodes or former episodes on Mike's profile most likely. And the reason I'm going to encourage you all to do that is I've got my daughter and my daughter-in-law are both expecting babies right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
They're both almost baked. They've got a 2 months left each, pretty, and they're due almost at the same time. So now they're right into the whole, things are not that comfortable for either one of
all
them.
Right. So I'm not sure how long old shows stay on. It is a good number of months. I'm not convinced it will go back 4 years or so. I must admit, I don't know. I've never really looked. Have you ever looked?
I have not looked. So I can you can type in the search engine though, guest names, and that's one thing that helps you to actually find people on there. So, but yeah, for people to just even reach out to Mike and say, hey, do you have some way to do that episode again? For, you know, or get people together again.
I'll make a note of that. Let's make a note of that. Something like homework.
Homework for Mike. This is what we do on the show.
Yeah, give people homework.
That's right. Inspire people to do their homework. This is really important stuff, though, because you're right. If your body is in miserable shape and you're hurting or it's heavy, it doesn't make for necessarily a joyful life. And when you're pregnant, you want to be enjoying the pregnancy. So that's real life help for folks.
Yes. And from the bloke's point of view, your life is just easier.
Way, right? Happy wife.
Yeah.
Happy life is a real, it's a saying in the real world. It has meaning. So that's awesome. So you said that when you started the show that you maybe had the sharp elbows, and I'm laughing to myself because that's kind of a rugby term perhaps for getting into, you know, having the ability to have a radio show, but you've been on 4 years now. What's it been like for you to actually host a show where you're not the medical expert? I think that's pretty cool.
Right. So I think if you have two things there. The first thing, no one will ever tune into my show to listen to me. You know, they might put up with me for a couple of minutes, but before long, they're going to get bored of me talking. Right. So what I have to find, beg, borrow, or steal interesting guests. So usually I beg guests to come on, and sometimes I'm lucky and I get some really interesting guests. So I have to find interesting guests that have a good story with something to say, really. And then because I'm not a medical expert at all, I feel that helps because I can ask whatever question I like without embarrassment. You know, right. It's not like, oh, he should know the answer to that. I shouldn't know the answer to any of this stuff. So I think it helps, actually.
Yeah, agreed. So you end up like being the curious child all the time, just able to ask anything of anybody and still remaining, keeping your integrity intact.
Yeah, to some extent. Although that's not always completely true. So my wife, she's the brains of the family. She's a researcher. She does cancer research, and occasionally some of this sort of rubs off on me. So I have the odd sort of clever sounding phrase that I might throw into the conversation, but that always backfires because if I'm talking to a scientist who's doing research about whatever it might be, how blood vessels grow or something like this, and I chuck in a phrase and then start talking, you know, real science. So I have to rein them back in quickly.
That's very good. That's, you have to learn self-control, right, around that. So also then, if people are interested in becoming a guest on your show, so to help you out in the not begging for guests, if you're a brilliant guest, potential guest listening to this, also make sure that you reach out to Mike or myself, because this is also about sharing real health information with people while we have a good time doing it. You know, so both those things are true. And I think a lot of guests are shy too about coming on, you know, and have conversations about things. So there's kind of that automatic barrier where they go, ooh, well, you know, it would be too much for me to go on because I'm too nervous. Public speaking isn't my thing. I'm an introvert, or I'm too busy doing, you know, research that I just don't have the time to do it. So I find that with both kind of pools, there's people who might be interested, but think they don't have time. And then there's the people who are definitely afraid of coming on to do a episode or an interview. So how do you talk people through that?
So I always say up front that, you know, this is not a live show, it's recorded. So it's all recorded. And so I say, you know, if you stub your toe while you're talking and it hurts and you swear or something, it doesn't matter. I can edit it all out. And then I say, unless of course it's funny, and then I just leave it in.
Exactly. That's the goal.
I don't know if that makes them feel better or worse. But, you know, with COVID, lots of people have been working at home. So it kind of works both ways. So I'm at home now. And throughout COVID, I did my recordings at home. I work at home anyway. And, you know, I could be doing the recording and there could be a knock on the door. It could be the postman or, you know, a neighbor needing something. And that's just how life is now, really. In earlier times, not so much now, but sometimes I would be talking to someone and there'd be background noise of my daughter practicing her cello. You know, life goes on.
You know, it's so true.
I don't really want to stop my daughter practicing her cello. I should have a word with that. She practices much less now, so that's rarely a problem. she's less interested in the cello now. But, you know, we've got a dog. The dog can run in and start tugging at my toes or something. But it's just, I try and leave it in because it's part of doing a podcast, you know.
Right. Yes, I think people appreciate the real life stuff. So that's too bad that your daughter isn't there because I'd love to hear her play cello. That'd be awesome. I've had grandkids running on me. People go, "Who's that?" Like, "Oh yeah."
I kind of like it. I like it when, you know, with the odd interruption like that. So that's the first thing. But talking to people that are nervous, it can be tricky. I think what I usually try and get across is that, yes, you are here because you know what you're talking about.
Yes.
And, you know, and so people want to know what you've got to say because you are the expert. And that usually works quite well. You know, it's never an adversarial type interview. You know, I'm never trying to be – actually, having said that, there have been a couple of occasions where someone's been doing something or saying something that I didn't necessarily agree with. But that's, I think out of all the people I've interviewed, that's probably only really happened once or twice. And I'll give you the example of one. Okay.
Sure.
And then you can make your mind up whether I was just being stupid or annoying or not. So it was someone who was talking about vaping. Instead of smoking. Now, there's probably a reasonably strong argument that vaping is not as bad as smoking. Smoking is bad. There's no question about that. And vaping probably isn't that good. It's probably almost as bad, but not quite as bad as smoking. So they were trying to say that, they were saying that if you smoke a lot, well, vaping might be better for you and it might be a gateway to trying to give up. And there was probably an element of truth in that. But I did a bit of research on vaping before I spoke to them. And I don't know if you know anything about vaping. I didn't, and I still don't really. But a lot of the names of vapes are things, and the tastes available are, I can't think of them now, but they're kind of sweets.
They're sweets. Definitely.
They're sweet sounding names, you know.
Yes.
So I said, look, if you're aiming at some grizzled old smoker who's, you know, my age and trying to get them to give up, it should be called grizzled old smoker. You know, it shouldn't be called super snappy bubble gum or something.
Right.
This is obviously aimed at teenagers like my daughter. And yes. I happen to feel fairly strongly that this was not a good idea, but they didn't really see eye to eye. So we had a bit of a fight on air. That's the only time. Okay. Fight is too strong a term. We had a discussion with differing points of view.
Sure. Yes, you had a debate which should be free and allowable.
Yeah.
That's what we do as adults, you know, or even human beings, is we're supposed to be able to talk about this stuff to get ideas out also, because maybe there's a perspective that people haven't heard before. So that's part of having lively conversations is going, well, I hadn't thought about that. So we'll call it a lively conversation about vaping that maybe you guys had differing opinions, but listeners then can actually take that information away and go, oh, it's nice to actually hear these perspectives and what actually rings true out of the interviews is what matters to the listeners too. I think it's like, what actually rang true out of that? Did it ring true that maybe the marketing thing was pretty slick and that maybe this isn't that healthy for me? Or do I really think that these kinds of inhaling things is super healthy.
Yeah. So anyway,
interesting.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I like to think they had the opportunity to put over their idea.
Yes, as well.
But hey, yeah, the listeners can make up their minds.
They can make up their minds. That's why we do this on a platform like we do, because there's both allopathic and natural medicine that are both side by side on the UK Health Radio platform, which is cool. So my other question around the whole COVID thing, and even now, because you have an import business, is how much challenge have you had around importing products? Has it been a problem? Because there's been lots of problems and disruptions in shipping and moving product throughout the world.
I had an awful lot of difficulty, not so much through COVID, although that didn't make life easy at all. The issue I had was with Brexit. And that made life absolutely awful for a while. I'm sure there's plenty of listeners in the UK that think Brexit is wonderful, but for me, it went through a phase where it was absolutely disastrous. It just made importing things a lot harder, an awful lot more red tape, and more expensive. Now, I think just about struggled with the red tape side of things, but things are still significantly more expensive. As far as I'm concerned, Brexit has not been good for my business, and actually the wider life as a whole, I think Brexit has not been good for, but there will be plenty of people that disagree with me.
Yeah, and that's, again, okay. That's what why people need to think about how things apply in their own life as well, right?
Is it okay? No, when I'm in charge, when I'm the next prime minister, it won't be okay. I'll change things.
Well, and that's awesome. So what's your platform, Mike?
I'm not planning to be a politician of any kind. I don't think I'd be a very good politician. I'm far too wishy-washy.
Oh, we could go down a rabbit hole on that. Okay, let's back up.
I think that's a good plan, yeah.
Wishy-washy, that sounds like the soapbox.
Flaky is the North American term.
Flaky, that's right. So with your business, I was interested because we do, we import and export products all the time. And yeah, there was definitely problems with supply chain stuff. And then you end up with customers who are trying to get their hands on things that, again, are real life solutions, and they can't get their hands on it. So did you have any of that, or have you been able to actually deliver most of the time products to your customers? And in the cases where you haven't, what have you done to sort of keep your good name? Because that's part of being in business too, right? Is having a good name and being trustworthy. Yeah. And
mm-hmm. Very difficult. So essentially my business imports one item. There are a couple of other items, but there's one main item, and it's this particular chair. So if someone wanted that, I couldn't really supply them with an alternative. I mean, they could go off and find an alternative for sure. So what I had to do, this isn't necessarily that easy. The phrase, okay, I use brutal honesty. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a customer saying, when can I have it? If you don't know, you say, look, I'm really sorry. I don't know. It could be weeks or it could be months. Mm-hmm. And at that point, they might say, okay, thank you for your honesty, but I'm going to cancel the order. And that's better, I think, than stringing them along, saying, oh, yeah, maybe next week. So I found brutal honesty was the best way to go. But, you know, it was just extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. Most of my customers, I tend to deal with retailers. So most of them have, you know, come back and are customers again, but some of them less so. They're doing less business. Maybe they're just doing less business in general as opposed to less business with me. But I think a lot of people found it extremely difficult, whether it's via because of Brexit or COVID. But COVID really hasn't been so much of an issue for me. I think COVID has extended some of the lead times, but because what I supply is quite specialist, it's quite specialized. Usually people, if you say, look, I'm sorry, you know, you can't have that tomorrow, it'll be a couple of weeks, something like that. But because it's something they really want or need, they're happy to wait a little bit. Right. It won't put them off if it's not available tomorrow.
Yes, that's what I've found too, is that lots of people are willing to wait along in the boat with you if it's something that's actually going to exponentially help their health and well-being. So in those times, what were the things that you did personally for yourself to actually be able to manage the stress? Because there is a lot of stress in business ownership. So it is a real thing when people go, they meditate all the time, And I go, that's hard to do that all the time because you can't resolve problems in the real world if your whole life is meditating. Like, what else do you do? So do you have any of the things that you do, or what do you do to manage stress, mental, okay, physical and emotional stressors?
That's actually a very nice question, and it's one that I hadn't really thought through, but I do know the answer. During COVID times, because everything was so weird and different, mm-hmm, the whole family was together. So my wife and two children, we were kind of always together in the same house, really. We could go out occasionally, but essentially we were all together. And that made things better because I was never just on my own kind of mulling things over on my own. The kids were around. I mean, we were all quite busy. So my wife was working as well, and the kids were doing school, but they were doing school online at home. Mm-hmm. And we were lucky enough that we've got enough space, more or less, for that to happen. My son had to share a room with me doing his schoolwork. So in fact, a few months ago, if we'd been talking, you would have seen the back of my son's head. Right. That's his desk over there. So his school friends used to laugh, you know, what's your dad doing? Why has he got that microphone in shot? You know, but right, having everyone together, but with enough space to be able to get away, I think helped me dramatically during that time. Later on, because the Brexit thing caused problems when they were at school as well, mm-hmm, I don't know, I just used to grumble a lot, I think. My wife used to be a very good sounding board, and I used to go for the odd jog, actually, go for the odd run to try and just get everything out of my head.
Right, so having
physical exercise.
So having good people around you, doing a little bit of physical exercise, did you have any other sort of rigid routine things that you follow? When I mean rigid, I just mean, like, did you get up at the same time every morning? Did you, because there's some mindset stuff that happens when you're not, because you're really an entrepreneur too, a businessman. And, you know, so that's not the same as going to work for a paycheck for somebody else. It's actually that you're master and commander of the money coming in. So that's a big stress. And did you have routine things that you did that you think really did help?
Yeah, so very much so. The whole family was on a routine because the kids, when we were all at home, the kids were on a school timetable, even though it was online.
Right.
My wife has a full-time job, so that worked. When it was just Brexit, and I was sort of on my own. I've always been quite good at not goofing off and getting off on with things. So that's worked. But the main thing is, and this has happened quite a few times, me and my wife would look at each other and say, it's a damn good job we're on the same team.
Yes.
So, you know, so she, her job was a little more stable during that time. And, you know, there've been other times when it's been the other way around. So being on a team, I think, has helped enormously. The team being me and my wife.
Now, this is, and you know, thank you so much for sharing that, because one of the things that also happened during that whole lockdown thing that we've seen stats coming out now of just how many people didn't make it through okay in their relationships, and that so many people are lonely and really having a hard time right now. Young men, families, like suicide rates have skyrocketed. So this is real world wisdom that you're sharing about just how important it is to tend to your relationships and to rely on each other, to have each other's back, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. Although, you know, I suppose I've been incredibly fortunate in picking a good soulmate, you know. And I was also lucky enough just to bumble into my soulmate when I was a child. You know, we were maybe 19 or 20 when we met, you know. That's just luck, really.
Well, let's all hope we were so lucky. Wish that luck for our friends and families to be so lucky. So the pick and stick strategy was good for the two of you. Pick your partner, stick to it, work through those things, because you don't know what's coming, right? What curveballs are coming to you in life. Yes. And so do you have a circle of friends that also you have, you know, used as sounding boards or that have helped you, or has it been mainly your family?
I mean, I've got a good circle of friends. When it comes to the business and decisions with that, I'll often talk about that with my wife. And usually she's right, which sometimes is a bit annoying. Susan, I'm just going to turn this off. Right, got rid of that now. Let's turn, silence the phone. That was actually her calling now.
Right. Oh, she probably had another good idea for you. Maybe.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. No, but I just found it is very useful to mull things over with her. You know, she's a scientist, so she can look at things in a very removed, sensible way. Because I might be dealing with a difficult customer. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's more to it than just, the things arrived late or they haven't paid. You know, it's actually, and do you know what else he did? Oh, God, that was so annoying. Okay, she's not involved in that. She's just involved in the facts.
Right. So just the data, not the drama like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. She's very good at that.
I love it. That's so awesome. And again, it's like it speaks to this whole idea that everyone doesn't need to have the same opinion or the same perspective on everything for there to be value. In fact, sometimes it's really important to have those dissenting voices or the different voice so that you can have a different perspective and make better decisions. And also, does that help you to handle things emotionally better? Like when she's sort of not buying into the whole rant, the customer rant? Does it help you to actually let go of things more quickly? Like if she joined you on the bandwagon of saying how awful they were and terrible, how would that go? What would that look like?
That would just make it worse. Yeah. So you need someone to, you know, give you a bit of a slap and say, look, come on, sort it out.
Yeah. I love it. And it's it is important when there's so many, lures and hooks out there to hook people into drama, and it's constant in our lives now. It seems like you're hooked into one drama after another. It's hard when people go, what's the productivity of your business? A lot of times people will go, well, you know, it's been a zero productive week because there's been absolutely nothing done. And when you're in a big corporation or if you're working in a system, maybe that doesn't affect you quite so much because you know, you can wait another week, you know, your paycheck's guaranteed, or pretty much guaranteed. But when you're an entrepreneur or a business person that's outside of a system, the lures and the hooks, have you had to be really conscious about staying out of the emotional hooky things? And if so, then how have you done that?
Okay, less so about that. But what I do sometimes find is I might spend more time working on the business of things that I kind of prefer to do. So, you know, tasks that I find I don't like doing might be left. So there's a classic one, things like VAT, all right, and accounts, very dull, you know, but you have to do them. Now, the government here has just changed the way that you have to present your accounts and send in your VAT, your VAT tax at the end of each quarter. So they've just decided to make, it's called MTD, making tax digital, which essentially means you've got to do everything online. Mm-hmm. I was doing it online before, but it's a different sort of online system. So you have to buy your online tax software and start using it. And the fact is, I bought this software probably 5 months ago. I haven't looked at it yet. And they've only just stopped doing it the old way. The idea was to give you time to get used to it. I didn't do anything. I've been doing the VAT the old way. And now I'm going to have to quickly get on board with the new way. And I'm not convinced I'm really going to be able to do it. So, that's storing up a problem. But the reason for that is because I've just put off doing the stuff that I like the least.
And who doesn't do that?
Well, yeah.
Most people do that. So until you hit a crisis and then people go, oh, okay, well, I'll attend to it. And maybe
the sensible thing is to say, right, I will spend 2 hours a week or whatever it is doing the VAT until it's done. Right. And I know how to use the new system. But instead, what I did is I go off and say, well, actually, I like this particular customer. Let's go and see him or whatever it might
be. Right. So you need somebody who wants to do that VAT for you. You can just go see all the customers.
Yeah, well, possibly. But unfortunately, the business isn't big enough yet for that.
Right.
And to be honest, I'm not sure I want it to be. I like it being small.
Yeah, yes. And I think every great business manager, entrepreneur knows that you need to know all the roles anyway within your business so that you can wear all the hats. So when you even bring somebody into the role, you know what the expectation is. Whereas if you've never done the role or never done it, then it's really hard to fill the boots, so to speak. Quite possibly.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So with your chair that you have been selling to people or to getting them to try it out, I'm curious about how it actually helps them with their health.
Right. Well, I'll give you the sales spiel.
I'd love to hear it. Yes. Oh, sell me one for sure.
All right. Well, first of all, I'll show you one. All right. Can you see it here?
I see it. Oh, it's a nice red one. Got a nice little swivelly, swivel on it. Got a seat for your butt.
There's no back.
Yeah.
And it's got a weird kind of base.
Oh, there you go.
With this funny ball at the bottom.
Love it. Looks the, and it looks like a bike seat sort of on the middle of it. Bigger.
Yeah.
Rounder.
So the idea is that when you sit on it, it's a bit like sitting on a horse. In fact, some people call them saddle seats.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm a farm girl, so I can go, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
So your knees are below your hips. And if you have your knees below your hips, generally speaking, the muscles that keep you in a good posture don't work so hard. So it's easier to sit in a nice posture. So if it's easier to sit in a nice posture, you probably will. It's possible to slouch on any chair, actually. So you can even slouch on this chair if you really want to, but it just makes it easier. Now, when I'm talking to people, they quite often say, but I can't possibly sit on that chair. There's no backrest. You know, I need a backrest.
Right.
And then this is when lots of people were in the office. It's slightly different now because of COVID. People have got out of the habit. But if I was in an office, I turn around and I say, look at all your colleagues. They're sitting on chairs with backrests and there's fresh air between their back and backrest. And they're all doing this, you see. They're all punching forward. So I say, look, no one uses the backrest anyway. So don't worry about that. And if you sit in this posture, you're in this position, it'll be easier to have a nice posture. And they go, yeah, okay, all right. And then I say, and that's not even the best bit. The best bit about this chair is that it moves a little bit. So I'm sure you've had that feeling. If you sit still for 20 minutes or certainly an hour or two, when you get up, you have that horrible stiff feeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't have to move very much. Just engage the muscles of your back so that stiff feeling doesn't go away. And if you're engaging those muscles, you know, the muscles that support your back, they might get a bit stronger. They just won't get weaker. And you're not going to end up with a six-pack or anything. But because the chair moves a little bit, it keeps those muscles working. It keeps you a little more engaged. It keeps you a little more awake. And so let me show you what you do. This ball here, you can screw this out a little bit, move the ball down, so it just wobbles a bit on this on the ball.
Interesting. So interesting.
It's not huge, and you can make it move more or less. So it's just posture and motion. That's what it's all about. That's the potted sales chatter.
Well, that's fun. So you
how
guys
many would you like?
I would like 25, thanks. And I'll tell you why this is cool is because I have a stand-up desk, and I've had a stand-up desk forever because of that whole posture thing. And knowing that when you're sitting in a desk chair, like a chair at a desk, a normal height desk, you start to feel actually uninspired. Like there's this slouchy thing that happens with everyone's posture that I know. And then you actually can't take proper breath either. And so as soon as you see people stand up and move a little bit, even just like what you're saying in the chair, they start to feel better. So they have this feel better physically, that sensation, but they also feel better emotionally almost immediately. And I'm a Qigong teacher. So this moving your little tail around like a little wagging puppy sounds like something that your chair actually makes you naturally do. And we were trying to get people to do things on, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but on the big inflatable balls. So there was a time when people would say, well, just sit on your ball, like get rid of your chair and sit on your big exercise ball. But lots of people fall off of those. So they're just like, well, damn, it was a good idea until I was doing whatever. And then, it deflated or I fell off. So this seems like and a much
they also get kicked. They're great for office football. They get kicked around, don't they?
That's right. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. But this looks like a much safer alternative. So I think it's a great idea. So do they work for just regular height office desks, or are they also, can you use them for like a stand-up situation, more like a stand-up bar?
Right, yeah. So when you sit on these chairs, you generally sit a bit higher than on an ordinary chair.
Okay.
So most people have to raise the height of their desk one way or another.
Right.
So, there's nothing wrong with a low-tech solution. You know, you can stick blocks of wood underneath your desk, but the perfect solution is an adjustable height desk. And I have one of those as well. Right. And I quite often work standing up. You know, and I often suggest people that to not sit down all day, which is odd coming from someone who essentially sells chairs. But
you know, there's a time.
I say, don't just sit down all day. Stand up if you can. And that seems to work quite well. But when it comes to standing up, I do find it's quite difficult. Even when you're trying to concentrate on standing nicely, you can end up with that kind of standing on one leg. I call it waiting for a bus pose. Now, do you know what I mean? All your weight's on one side.
Right, yes.
And that's quite a problem. And I went to another one of these shows, and I saw these treadmills that are meant to go under a desk. I don't know if you've seen treadmills in the gym.
Yes.
But there are treadmills that are designed to go with a desk. And I saw that and I thought, that's ridiculous. That'll never work. But then I tried it out. I kind of liked it. But the fact is, these treadmills, they're pretty huge. And you can't just move it from one desk to another. It's quite a problem. But then I came across something else, and I want to show it to you, actually.
Yes, do. So for those of you who are listening, make sure that you come onto the video version so you can actually take a look at this thing. So go get it. Go grab it.
It's on the other side of the room. I'll be back.
He's going to go grab it. And while he does that, I'm going to sing some intermission music so that you can all be entertained while we take a look at this treadmill. Because anything that you can do to alleviate or make your body better or feel better or in better balance, I'm a fan of that, and especially the at-home solutions or things that you can bring into your office, because so many times many people can't get to the gym or the million things, right, that keep you from being well. All right, Mike's back. He's got his device. This is
an active stand. So I call it actually a walking board. But some people, when they're standing at their desk, they might use a balance board. That's right. One thing. But I find on a balance board, I kind of tense up and my butt sort of tenses. But this is, I don't know if you can
hold it up again. Because it's interesting. I would have thought maybe like it looked like a Bosu ball, but it doesn't. So for those of you who actually want to check in the video, do it. It's more like a flat board with a curvature to it.
Yes. So it has a slight curvature. So that means you can rock from one side to t'other. So it simulates going for a gentle stroll. That's what it does. It's like, that's why I call it a walking board. So you can go for a gentle stroll, because most people can go for a gentle stroll for a lot longer than they can stand up straight like a soldier. So when I'm at my standing desk, I'll often stand on that. And also in the office, everybody knows someone who, when they get a phone call, starts pacing up and down and kind of irritates the hell out of everyone. Getting one of these things to stand on, and it might just prevent them from pacing up and down the office. It might keep them a little more stationary.
Right. Well, next time you're going to have to do an actual demo of it, because I'm curious. We'll have to get some cameras set up so you can actually show people a full demo, because that would be very cool. People can come check it out at masteryourlife.ca. We're almost out of time for today, Mike. So how can people get a hold of you? How, you know, it's like a really cool health solution, number one. And then number two, potential guest experts for your show that would want to be on and be featured about their knowledge around, you know, health and welfare. Just talk about what you're kind of looking for there.
Right. So if you're thinking you might like to be on the show, a first step might be to just listen to some previous shows on UK Health Radio. So go to UK Health Radio and then click on the presenters bit, and you can search. I think you search for Mike Dilk rather than the Relax Back UK show. Have a listen and see if you could bear being part of it. And if you've listened, you think, yeah, okay, I could hack been spoken to or interviewed by him. Then if you contact me via email, that's probably the way to go. It's mike@relaxbackuk.com. And just say, you know, I'm an expert in this. I'd like to talk to you about the other. Or how about having this on as a topic? You know, I don't want to be on, but I'd like to hear about it. And I can try and find some, you know, do some research for you. Just an email, I think, is the best way to contact.
Very good. Awesome. So if you want to purchase a chair or you want to find out more about the rocker, take a stroll board, then make sure you also reach out to Mike. I love that you're selling these real world solutions for real health problems. We need ways to release energy and increase our frequency and vibrancy. So Mike, thanks for joining me today. And everyone, make sure that you reach out to him if you want to receive the products that he actually is promoting. Everyone, we're all done for today. Love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.